Okay, in yesterday's travel news, we saw the news that Heathrow has imposed a daily capacity of 100,000 passengers per day, and it's a cap that's in place until the 11th of September. It's just one of a string of problems that are affecting the travel industry at the moment, and to try and unravel some of those bits and pieces and help us sort of, well, top up that suntan and maybe get to dip our toes in the tea, see, is Claire Coleman. Morning, Claire.
Good morning.
It's an interesting time for you guys.
Oh, God, yeah. To say the least.
No, I mean, you've had a sort of 18 months really where it's been almost impossible to book anything to go anywhere. And of course, now that the floodgates have been opened, we realise that a lot of our major infrastructure at the airports is not able to deal with the rush, so to speak. I mean, what do you make of this Heathrow decision to limit the capacity to 100,000 passengers a day?
Well, I'd like to know how they're going to do it, because, yeah, I think I'd also read that they were suggesting that the airlines didn't take any more bookings for the summer. And I'm not really quite sure how that will pan out. But, yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? I mean, the trouble is, it's when everyone wants to go away, so a kind of post-COVID madness, but with we just don't have the staff to deal with it. Obviously, everyone was laid off pre-COVID, and now we can travel again, like you say, quite freely, but the staff are not in place to deal with it. I think that's half the trouble. There isn't the ground staff, the airport crew, the baggage claim, you name it. That's the problem. So they've got to do something to try and resolve it. But I'd like to see how they're going to implement it. Who knows? Yeah.
11th September is when it goes on till, which, of course, is right to the back end of the school holidays. So, I mean, it is going to be a busy old summer for everybody that works in the industry. I mean, how is it for you? I mean, you've got back to all of this stuff and bookings. But, I mean, I'm guessing a lot of people have carried over their holidays and are taking up the space this year. But a lot of people have traditionally always gone for that last-minute booking. I mean, are there any out there to be had?
There's last-minute bookings, but there's not cheap last-minute bookings. I think that's they're always used to be. You can always get a bargain outside of school holidays. There's always a bargain to be had because you haven't got the masses travelling at once. So if you can go any time other than July and August or February or October or Christmas when the world and his wife are going, there will always be bargains to be had. But unfortunately, I think people's expectations now are, yes, a lot of the COVID restrictions have been lifted. We're not fully vaccinated, but we can go to Greece, we can go to Cyprus. Find us a holiday, but we've only got X amount to spend. And it's the budget, really, that's, I think, throwing a few people this year, that things are a lot more expensive compared to a couple of years ago, which is what you would expect, to be fair. But I think because people haven't had to spend out maybe for a couple of years, the increase has sort of crept up and it's quite a significant difference. So, yeah, the bargains aren't around so much.
Yeah, it's not really just about the fact that we've had COVID and things are beginning to get back to normal. There's also, of course, a worldwide fuel crisis, as it's been described, with fuel prices going up. That also, I would guess, is hitting the travel industry very, very hard. Cost of living goods and things that concern businesses have also affected prices. So I'm guessing that it's going to be not just this year that we've got this problem with pricing. I think it's going to is this going to continue into next year?
I think it probably will. I mean, we always used to say that on average prices tend to go up between 10 and 12% every year. So if a family holiday has cost you £3,000, then maybe next year it might be three and a half, three, four, three, five. But obviously we've had 2 years of nothing. So that £3,000 is now nearer £4,000 in the grand scheme of things. Because obviously, although travel hasn't happened, like you say, the price of fuel and everything's gone up. That's got to be incorporated into the cost and just prices in general. And also hoteliers and things, they haven't had business. Travel industry was really, really badly hit, And so they need to recoup back some of their losses. And so if their hotel room rate was sort of £200 a night, maybe now it's £300 a night. And it's just the way it is. And so everything has just gone up. And prices will continue to rise, that's for sure.
If that's the case, I mean, this is going to push the price of holidays beyond the bounds of all the abilities of many, many people, which may well actually, in the end, negate the problem of the overcrowding and, you know, a number of passengers at different airports. Do you think that might be the case?
Well, I guess for next year, that's going to be easier. If they're told they can only have X amount of passengers per year for next year, per day for next year, that's easier. I just don't see at the moment, with all the passengers that have already booked for the summer, are airlines now literally just going to have no availability? Because, I don't know. I don't know how they police this and how that's going to work.
Well, there's a number of...
I'm just baffled.
Yeah, I mean, it's all of the airlines are being asked to cut flights, but it's at certain airports. I don't know whether it covers all of the airports. I know the problem originally started out in Manchester, as I say, and it's turned out that Heathrow seems to have the biggest problem, where they cut back so far on staff, and of course, being the biggest, they've got the longest way to get back up to full strength, so to speak, and of course, it's not an easy thing to actually try and, or quick thing to try and train up security people.
Well, I had heard, I mean, I don't know, you hear all sorts of things. I had heard that some of the actual security passes seem to be the problem. I think there's the staff ready to start, but they haven't had their security passes for the airports, you know, where they have to do the DBS checks or something. All those sort of checks are taking longer. So they've got staff ready, but just not the that they're not able to start because of the passes to get behind the airport and things just not coming through. So it is a complete nightmare, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, I mean, security is a strange old thing, because we know a lot of the reasons why the security is actually needed. But just as a slight lighten up of things, because it's a fairly serious subject, this, you get to this particular piece which came my way, which is about the silliest things you get stopped for by security. So one of the things that somebody got stopped for was to do with their hummus, apparently was a liquid. So, yeah. So, I mean, you get to read these silly things, but they have a knock-on effect on what's actually going on, because it's the security staff that are actually having to make this decision. One man actually said, this was at Manchester Airport, that his Branston pickle was too liquid as well. Are we looking at the right things or the wrong things there?
Well, I mean, you'd ask the question, why is someone taking Branston pickle on holiday with them? But then I suppose...
Well, he was just travelling to France and he liked his Branston pickle and he couldn't get it in France.
Fair enough. Okay, funny things.
Yes, I know.
Oh, dearie me. Well, the answer there is don't take your Branston pickle. You'll have to lump it,
or your hummus,
for a week. Or your hummus. Yeah.
Or your oatmeal, which was another one. But so last-minute bookings are an absolute no-no. What's the latest COVID news? Because I'm gathering it's very, very different from one place to another now.
Yeah, I mean, the good news is now for somewhere like Greece, they now do not require you, whether you're fully vaccinated or non-vaccinated, Greece are welcoming you into the country with nothing.
So you don't without restriction.
Without restrictions, as are Cyprus, I believe. Spain are still, I think Spain is probably out of the main sort of touristy areas. Spain is still insisting if you're not fully vaccinated, you have to have a PCR test to get into the country. And by being not fully vaccinated, they do actually classify you as being fully vaccinated if you just had two vaccines. You don't have to have the booster, providing your second vaccine was no more than 270 days before.
Yeah, I was going to say they're still they're still requiring proof, aren't they? Because, I mean, I'm going to the Canary Islands in September, which is classified as part of Spain, and I've done a little bit of work on this.
Oh, yeah, you still need proof.
And
you need
still need to take your...
Either
sort of get the information on your phone or take the paperwork with you with the relevant barcode or droid code that shows that you've actually been vaccinated.
Yes. Yeah, that's quite straightforward, really, because, like you say, you can just download your NHS app and you can get that on there. But, yeah, if you're not fully vaccinated for Spain, then you do need to still have a PCR on arrival. But, yeah, Greece have definitely... So I'm just looking here. Regardless of your vaccination status, you don't need a pre-departure test to travel here. So out of these sort of places, you've got the likes of Greece, Italy.
Surprised that Italy's in there because they got quite badly
Portugal,
hit.
Yeah, well, they were the first ones, weren't they?
Yeah.
So Turkey, you don't need anything. Portugal, you don't need anything. I'm looking, Italy you don't, Greece you don't, Egypt you don't, and Cyprus you don't. And then if you're not fully vaccinated, you do still need, so within Europe, you do still need to have a test beforehand to go to France, to go to Malta, to go to Spain, and that's all areas of Spain, all the islands and the mainland, and Tunisia within Europe. If you want to go to Greece and you want to go to Cyprus and places like that, it doesn't matter. Regardless of vaccine status, you're absolutely fine.
Okay.
Just a few other countries that you do.
America,
need.
You still need some proof as well, don't you?
America's stopped. So with America, yeah. So if you're fully vaccinated, you're fine. Children between 12 and 17, I believe, are exempt from any of it anyway. You have to still fill out these attestation forms just to confirm that you're fully vaccinated. But I think... I don't know if you do still need a PCR to get into the States. I think you might. I think you might still need to have, because I think you need to be fully vaccinated for the States. There's few that you do. But, yeah, they're certainly cutting down, because you used to have to fill out a lot of forms. And you don't have to do that so much. These PLF forms, which most countries were asking for, but you don't need those so much either.
So things are easing up, and of course the latest round of COVID doing the rounds and things slightly increased from where they were, but nobody seemingly overly worried about it because of the vaccination program. What is the situation on planes? Do we still need to wear masks?
I believe that has been stopped. But you can still wear them if you want to. I had some clients that travelled recently and they wore their masks. It was personal choice. She said some of the staff had them on, some of the staff didn't. So it's certainly not. I think it all eased up very much when the rules here stopped, when they said you didn't have to wear masks anymore over here. Some of the airlines were still stipulating that you had to, but it's all very relaxed now and I don't think many are actually enforcing it.
Well, whichever way it goes, I would suggest that people make their own decisions on that. It's a bit like walking around the supermarket. If you're comfortable with a mask, then wear a mask. If you're comfortable not wearing a mask, go in that direction as well. So are you looking at holidays now for later on in the year in your line of work?
I've got a bit of everything, really. I have still got people wanting to get away for the summer, but they have got realistic budgets. So I am sort of currently looking for people trying to get away in August. I've got clients looking to do Iceland in October. I've had Hawaii inquiries, New Zealand inquiries.
Wow.
I've had quite an array of inquiries come through. But I normally find that I think I've had the sort of majority of the sort of drop and flop ones for the summer. And now it's sort of further afield, later on in the year and people looking to go long haul and different type of holidays and ones that take a little bit more time. I've had Kenya inquiry as well.
Wow.
So, yeah, quite a mixture. this last couple of weeks.
Well, hopefully things will return to some semblance of normality as we head through the year, and you'll be able to just get on with booking people quite happily for the break that they actually want at the price that they can afford to pay, hopefully. But for now, we just say thank you, Claire, for talking to us. I mean, it's a nightmare with the passenger thing with the with them. I'm sure your phone is sort of fairly red hot, I would guess, at some point. But
I've been polishing my crystal ball as well, because I've got no clue. Some of the things people ask, I'm like, I couldn't tell you that.
It's one of those things, I think you've got to live that one from day to day. But for now, Claire, we'll catch up with you in a month or so's time, and maybe look at one or two places to go as the weather gets a little cooler. For now, Claire Coleman, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.